Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Deborah Ray, who is going to be talking about her two books. One of them is called The ABCs of Globalism. The other is called The ABCs of Culturalism. And Deborah, would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and your background theologically and historically that, of course, promoted you to write this book?
Well, sure enough. I hold an undergraduate degree from the University of Iowa in education and a graduate degree in education from the University of Washington. And on top of that, I studied a four-year program and received an undergraduate degree in theology, and after that, a Master of Ministries. And over time then, in collecting information as a Christian with regard to the Word of God, I developed the glossary format for the ABCs of Globalism and went ahead with the second book on cultural isms to try to expose the work of the enemy, comparing it with the truth as God sets it forth in His Word, so that we would not be deceived in these perilous last days.
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is that most Christians really don't know that there is a spiritual battle going on. They do not know that there is an organized, orchestrated effort made up of a group of organizations out there that are headed by people who hate the God of the Bible, and, of course, they're doing a pretty good job of undermining Christianity.
Absolutely. We're fighting a warfare in heavenly places, as it were, rather than just a political battle or a cultural war, as some have dubbed it.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to go through your book as we have before. Do you have a copy of your book there?
Yes.
All right. Well, I left mine inside, so we're going to have to start, I think, about C. And what Deborah has done is she's actually taken A, B, C, D. A starts with abortion. A starts with ACLU. By the time you get up to B, you're into Madame Blavatsky. And if you don't know who Madame Blavatsky is, well, you haven't been listening to our programs very long. One of the major figures behind what's going on today, it was her disciples, people like Adolf Hitler and Margaret Sanger and even Saran Saran when he was arrested after shooting Bobby Kennedy. First thing he did was ask for a copy of Madame Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine there. Arthur Conan Doyle was a disciple of William Stead, who was one of the original members of Cecil Rhodes Secret Society. But most people don't even know about Madame Blavatsky, and that's why you need copies of this book to understand who these major characters are. But let's get started about the C's, where we're, and we'll start talking and going from the beginning of this as Deborah develops these ideas alphabetically of these major figures and major forces working behind the scenes today, shaping the world in which we live. And because of their influence over our educational system, over our churches, over our leaders, you will hardly ever hear any of these mentioned, and that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. And that's why Deborah is good enough to come onto our programs and share her years of research into this move towards globalism. Because believe me, globalism is in full force today. Both of our presidential candidates support it, and it means the destruction of America as we know it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Deborah Ray, who has written two fascinating books. One, The ABCs of Globalism, which we carry, and the other is The ABCs of Culturalism, which we carry. And we're going to start going through, as we have before, the in alphabetical order the various things that she has brought up, which she thinks are important to help you better understand what's going on today. So where do we start with the C's?
Well, I think I'll skip over in the C's to the Council on Foreign Relations, because I believe it ties into what we'll be discussing this afternoon better than maybe some of the other entries. But we're talking about what is called the shadow or invisible government, the establishment. And this was founded by Colonel Edward Mandel House and his group, the Inquiry, and Bernard Baruch in 1921 in New York. And it is an organization that is America's preeminent non-governmental foreign affairs organization. And from its conception, this council has demonstrated open intent to consolidate power. And many consider it to be the face of the Illuminati or the Illuminist movement in the United States today. And it has brother organizations or connector organizations such as the American branch of the Royal Institute of International Affairs and others of this sort.
All right. I think the important thing is that up until about 15 years ago, you would never find mention of the Council on Foreign Relations in the general media. And then because there were so many people who were talking about it and publishing their membership list, they finally decided to go public with it, like, oh, well, how could anybody think we were a secret organization? Why, here we are. And, of course, here we find that today Colin Powell comes from the CFR, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, most of the people who run the current administration, State Department, Defense Department, they all come from the Council on Foreign Relations, as they have with every administration going back to the late 1940s. And certainly you would think that they could find somebody to run the Secretary of State or be the Secretary of State who didn't come from the CFR, and yet every Secretary of State since 1953 has come from the CFR, all but one director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and that happens to be our present one, George Tenet, every chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. How could it be that this small group of people could always have all the key positions in the cabinet of successive presidents? Why? Because most of the presidents come from the CFR or are controlled by the CFR. And until the American people understand the significance of this organization, we're going to continue to... Well, Dr. Stan back here. And Deborah, what is the major thrust of the Council on Foreign Relations?
Well, actually, one of the major undertakings is to find, nurture, and place people in today's one world order. And clearly, the Council's idea is to abolish national sovereignty for globalism with the objective of world government and global banking. And significantly, there's scarcely a company in the Fortune's top 100 that is not directed by a CFR member. So it's made some great steps forward to realize these objectives and goals.
And, of course, I think what most people do not know is that the CFR is the American extension of the secret society that Cecil John Rhodes created in 1891. And if you'd like to check that out, I suggest Professor Carol Quigley's classic work, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which is available through our ministry now, although for many years it was suppressed because somebody bought up the publisher, the rights to the book, and destroyed the place of the first half of the book. It was only years later that the book became available. But on page 951 and 952, Professor Quigley tells how the Council on Foreign Relations was the American extension of this secret group that was formed so many years before. It was an American extension of the Round Table, and the Round Table was the front for a secret society tied into the Rhodes Scholarships. Gee, isn't it interesting that Wesley Clark was a Rhodes Scholar and Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. But don't you feel bad because, at least according to the book, the vision of Cecil Rhodes, published in 1940 by Frank Adialet, who directed the Rhodes Scholarships here, he says that when the Rhodes Scholars come back from Oxford, they all join, or most of them join, the Council on Foreign Relations. So this is how it all begins to tie together. But you're never going to be told this by Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw, because they're paid fantastic salaries not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth. from the American people. So certainly the CFR is so important, isn't it, Deborah?
Indeed, and Richard Harwood says that the CFR members are the nearest thing we have to a ruling establishment in the U.S., and this is an ombudsman for the Washington Post who said that in 1993 that the CFR media members not only analyze and report the news from a global perspective, but they also work to bring about policy that will ease transition into this new world order.
In fact, we have that article. We offer it to our listeners. And in that article, Harwood said, the president, now this is, remember, this is written in October of 1993. The president of the United States is a member of the CFR. The secretary of state is a member of the CFR. Deputy secretary of state and the five assistant secretaries come from the Council on Foreign Relations. The legal director of the State Department comes from the CFR. And then he names all the cabinet positions where the member comes from the CFR. And then, of course, he goes on to David Gergen, who is the White House counsel, comes from the CFR. And, of course, what he was really saying is they control the government, and that's really true. And he even mentioned, of course, the CIA, director of the CIA at that time, as with all previous directors of the CIA, came from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations, which most people had never heard of in 1993.
Yes, and since 1948, the CFR has really controlled both political parties, and for Democrats and Republicans alike, the CFR serves like as if it were an employment agency. And they, with the Trilateral Commission, it virtually runs our federal government.
And isn't it interesting that now we have two skull and bones members vying for the presidency, one George W. Bush, the other John Kerry. But John Kerry, don't feel bad. He comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, whereas George Bush doesn't. However, he surrounded himself with CFR members. His father was a member of the board of directors of the CFR, and the apple usually doesn't fall too far from the tree. Well, now, what's the next point in the ABCs of globalism, Deborah?
Well, moving on into the D's, I think Charles Darwin is a very important piece of the puzzle. Most people know him for his scientific so-called theory of evolution, but really his true claim to fame is his philosophy of what's called historic optimism. And this contends that apart from God, our thinking, philosophy, and destiny are improving progressively with the passing of time. And this certainly has not proven to be so in the history. But he also has a mystical Darwinism that has moved into the New Age theology that says over the course of time, with upward mobility, living creatures start out as embryo gods, but they earn egoic advancement through multiple reincarnations until ultimately they enter into a state of nirvana or Christhood where they become gods. And becoming God is really the essence of what these secret societies with occult underpinnings is all about.
Did Darwin actually advocate that sort of thing?
Well, Darwin had a different perspective, but it was his thinking that influenced and gave impetus, I believe, to the mysticism promoted through mystical Darwinism.
Well, of course, the reason that they want to have only evolution taught in our schools is because there's a conspiracy against God. They want to use the public schools today to indoctrinate our children in atheism. And after all, if we've scientifically proved that evolution took place, and that's what we tell our children, even though it's all a lie, and much of that science is just as full of holes as a sieve. But once you can convince the children that the evolution is true, then the Bible must be mistaken. And this is how they attack the child's religious beliefs. And this is why most children come out of school disbelieving, of course, what they've been taught in their church and been taught by their parents. And this is one of the major reasons for public education. Not to educate our children, but to indoctrinate them in atheism, in internationalism, in environmentalism, and to turn them against the teaching of the church and their parents. And boy, they're sure doing a good job in public schools, aren't they?
Doing a great job. And, of course, the John Scopes trial was all about disseminating Darwinism, and certainly a wonderful job was done. I remember as an undergraduate student, I was in pre-med courses at the University of Iowa, And I can remember a professor saying over and over again that evolution is fact, not theory. Evolution is fact, not theory. And no honest scientist can say that with a straight face. And my understanding that Darwin himself said that his own research led him to the fact that evolution could not be true, but hey, he couldn't trust his own mind. Why? Because he evolved from a monkey.
Well, maybe he evolved from a monkey, but I don't think either you or I did. And
I don't think so. I'm not claiming that heritage.
And I'll tell you, when I went to college, they told us all about the Piltdown Man, and the Piltdown Man was the definite missing link. It had been definitely assured. I mean, science had proven that this was the missing link. Of course, it was actually, I think, the skull of an orangutan or something like that, or the jaw of an orangutan. It was a gigantic hoax. But the scientists so badly wanted to have justification for disbelieving in God that they were all willing to accept a lie. And it was many years later before they found out it was a lie. This isn't science. It is simply the misuse of science to justify a religious belief, and that religious belief is the Bible is incorrect and there is no God. So the people who embrace evolution, it is a religion with them. It is an
Absolutely.
Anti-God religion.
And Darwin's bulldog in the late 1800s, Thomas Huxley, Huxley was compelled to admit, rightly so, that evolution is no more than tentative hypothesis. And yet it's being promulgated as though no one should question it. And if anybody does, they're doofuses. You know, they just don't fit in with the whole agenda.
And of course, in textbooks all across America today, they still show those pictures that I saw when I went to college 50 years ago, and it shows a pig embryo and a dog embryo and a fish embryo and a human embryo, and they all look about the same as they go through the various stages of development. Only when they get to the end do they really look different. Those drawings were discredited 100 years ago, and the man who put them out was accused of being a fraud, and yet they're still used in textbooks all across America today. Why? Because they're so convincing.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's all built upon a lie, but we can't let the people know that, or the fact that we're using public tax money to push a religion, the religion of atheism.
I remember in college the phrase, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny,
right,
which is that whole idea of the human embryo replaying steps of evolution. And these fake drawings are still in biology textbooks, but Ernst Haeckel, the German biologist who presented them and coined the phrase, you know, we know it's a hoax.
He was actually discredited. I mean, he was really run out of the university for doing that. But his drawings live on in the textbooks financed by our government.
And his belief system is used to justify abortion today. So these belief systems have a way of entering into the philosophies and the culture to distort and skew Bible truth.
Ideas have consequences, and tragically bad ideas have very bad consequences, and evil ideas, and that's what this is really all about, is evil. Evil ideas have evil consequences. Well, what's the next in the alphabetical sequence?
Well, I'm talking about death culture this book. And in today's humanistic society, death by suicide, abortion, and euthanasia enjoy high profile and big money, organizational clout, in fact. And the whole bottom line of this new world order of global governance is control. And controlling populations is part of that, not only in terms of behaviors and belief systems, but also in terms of numbers.
Amen to that. And, of course, if you look at what's happening with the AIDS epidemic in Africa today, we're killing off Africa. Almost 40% of the adult population of Botswana is now HIV infected. That's either the greatest public health failure of all time or the most successful genocidal accomplishment. We'll be right back here in just a few moments with Deborah Ray. We'll invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If there's any one tape that that you should hear. It's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me tell you about a few of the things we carry here at Radio Liberty. One of them, of course, is Phenopoly. It's a game designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And they have dumbed down our children in school by using a method of teaching reading that they knew would not work. This was the John Dewey method of look-see spelling and look-see reading, but they wanted to dumb down our American children. Do you honestly think that with all the money we spend here in the United States on education, our SAT scores could be down below Lithuania and Latvia unintentionally? Of course not. They know exactly what they've done. They just don't want the American people to know. They don't want the parents to pull their kids out of the government schools because they want to control their hearts and minds and souls. Well, Phenopoly is designed to teach children how to read phonetically, and in 16 hours you can undo all the harm that's been done. Most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This one is $139.95. We recommend it to you. It's called Phenopoly. It's played like a game, like Monopoly in many respects, but you'll learn what you need to learn, and you'll never be able to look at the world through the same eyes again. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Phenopoly. And then we also carry a homeschooling program. It's known as the Robinson Homeschooling Program. It's actually on 22 CDs, and they're designed to take your children from grammar school through high school graduation for $199.95. And you say, how can you do that? Well, all the textbooks are there on the discs, except for the Saxon math books, which you'll have to buy from Dr. Robinson at a discount price. But the rest of it's there, and the questions, the tests, the answers to the test, the lesson plans, everything's laid out. Dr. Robinson's a friend of mine. He used this. It's called the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-544-8927. Ask about the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. You won't be sorry if you get it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Deborah Ray, and we're talking about her book, The ABCs of Globalism. And let me tell you, this is an excellent book. We carry that book because we think it's an important message to get out. And I like to keep it right close when I'm writing it sometimes, because there are all sorts of little details in there that I can put into my newsletters that will help better to better understand the things we're talking about. So it's a great source of information, as is her new book, The ABCs of Culturalism. So let's go on. We were, of course, talking about Darwin, and where do we go from Darwin?
Well, we headed into death education.
Death education, right.
And the death culture. And I did want to note that our nation's youth have witnessed by television some 8,000 acts of murder before they reach the age of puberty. And we know that this death education program was introduced in the 1970s to the American public education system, and it promotes the godless agenda of the Humanist Manifesto 2, which reads, "We recognize an individual's right to die with dignity, euthanasia, and the right to suicide." And so we have this conditioning toward death. And many years ago, I was with a group that was playing a movie or something, a video, and I had not been accustomed to the movies or videos at the time, and there was a violent moment, and I startled, and somebody next to me laughed and said, "Well, you sure don't watch these, do you?" And the point being that when you don't get exposed to that culture, you're free to be normal in your reaction to blood and gore. Whereas if you watch it, participate, you know, in the culture of it, you in time become just anesthetized, so to speak, and you're not even noticing. And it conditions us to the death culture and to concepts like partial birth abortion and selling baby parts and assisted suicide and that type of thing.
And I think it's so difficult for people to understand there really are people out there who would like to kill off the majority of the people in the world. And if you doubt that, you really should travel to Elberton, Georgia, and see the Georgia Guidestones there on these four great granite slabs in eight different languages. The Ten Commandments that come right from the pit of hell. Nobody knows who put the money up for this monument, but it is known as the American Stonehenge. And point number one, maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Now, that may not seem very bad unless you figure there are over 6 billion people in the world and they're talking about killing off over 90% of them. You can go to my webpage, radioliberty.com, and see the guidestones and the list of what the other 9 commandments are from the dark side. But if you read the writings of a man like Jacques Cousteau, when he was interviewed for the UNESCO Courier article in November of 1991, he talked about the necessity of killing off, or his word was eliminating, 350,000 people a day. Now, if that seems shocking to you, that couldn't have happened. We'll provide you with the pages from the UNESCO Courier. You need to read it. You need to understand what this is really all about. And then you want to ask yourself, if this is really true, why haven't I ever heard about it? There are people like Jacques Cousteau, and we could give you the names of so many of them, Ted Turner and the other prominent people. Prince Philip talked about if he died, he wanted to come back as a virus so he could kill off so many people. And certainly David Foreman, who formed Eighth Earth First, said how wonderful AIDS was because it was going to kill so many, and how we really had to get the world population down to 100 million. Well, that makes him... Ted Turner, who wanted to get us down to 250 million, almost like a conservative. Well, anyway, there is this death culture that Deborah Ray talks about. You must understand, they're trying to get us constantly to go along with this idea of death with dignity. But, of course, what dignity is there when you're being starved to death in a hospital? They want you to sign an advanced directive when you go in the hospital. But that's so, of course, that you will not have extraordinary care. But have you ever noticed... they never define extraordinary care and what that means. You probably think that's a tube and you're going to be on an artificial respirator all of your life, but I've been to medical meetings where they've let it out what they really were talking about, and that is we shouldn't start IVs when the patient's coming to the emergency room, because, after all, once you start an IV on somebody who's going to die, why, of course, how can you turn it off? Maybe it'd be better not to start it at all. There are people out there, they call themselves ethicists. I think they come right from the pit of hell. But they're working within the medical profession. There's a real spiritual battle going on. I wish we had a few more righteous people working in medical ethics today. We'll be back here in just a moment or two with more of Radio Liberty.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future, are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters. And if you don't like the taste of your water, if you're concerned that there may be contaminants in it, herbicides or pesticides or other things of that sort, or if you're concerned that the chlorine taste, you want it to taste better, or you're concerned there might be an emergency and you sure want to be able to have some means of being able to have potable water if suddenly the water supply was contaminated or cut off, why, you certainly want to think about getting either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. The Big Berkey is stainless steel. It has ceramic filters in it that can be cleaned repeatedly. The Berkey Light is made of Lexan, and of course you can see then the water level. There are two black Berkey filters that work more efficiently, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. The Big Berkey is $239.95. The Berkey Light is $199.95. The Big Berkey is available in every state but California and Iowa. The Berkey Light is available in every state but Iowa. Both are available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like to see them, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com and see the pictures. But hopefully you'll decide you'd like to have one on hand. And, of course, you do that by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and order either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light water filter. We have a Berkey Light, and we certainly enjoy it. I think you will as well. And then we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and of course we can't make any medical claims for them, but we will tell you that the people who use the Miracle 2 products really swear by them. They love them, and they give us all sorts of wonderful stories, so they help about how they help their rashes or other things. Anyway, if you'd like to know more about Miracle 2 soap products, go to our website, or if you want to order the special introductory set, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Miracle 2 introductory offer. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is Deborah Rame, and we're talking about her book, the ABCs of Globalism and the ABCs of Culturalism, and we've been going through this alphabetically. This is the beauty of this book, a tremendous amount of information, really crystallized and shortened, so you can just keep it on yourself and pull it off if you want to go through anything. And the last thing was the death culture. Where do we go from there, Deborah?
How about our friend John Dewey? We touched upon the public education system, and being an educator myself, this particular part of the puzzle is near and dear to my heart. But John Dewey, many people do not realize, was an avowed atheist and first president of the American Humanist Society. And he was instrumental in introducing the non-theistic religion, so-called, of humanism into America's public education system. And at the time of his death, the Protestant character of the early public schools had totally disappeared, and he was known as a patron saint of public education, and he saw education as life adjustment, and the school system as a vehicle for values education. And from him we get the concept that teachers are no longer teachers, but rather they're agents of social change.
They're really change agents, right?
Yes, exactly, change agents. I know when I went to school, we were training to be educators, to be professional teachers, and my concept was that I would impart the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic and the other disciplines in a setting of control and respect. And in time, it came to the point that teachers were to stand back and be change agents to throw away the old traditional values of Judeo-Christianity and to supplant those values with something else that had no plumb line for truth, that was completely relativistic.
Yeah, there were no absolutes, just anything goes. You do what you want to, you become the determinant. You, 13-year-old girl, decide what's right and wrong?
Yes, yes, exactly. And he took on the leftist Hegelian system that there's no God, no soul, no permanent moral absolutes, and no eternity. So, in a sense, he declared war on God and called for an end to the Christian belief system while calling forth a world community with redistribution of wealth. And many of his disciples, for example, George Counts, Harold Ruggs, and Scott Nearing, who carried on his philosophies and thoughts, were communists and believed that the new public mind needed to embrace some form of socialism or communism. And many people don't realize either that Dewey helped to organize the Marxist educational system in Russian. And so the Russian system was a mirror of his philosophies of education.
But my understanding is the Russians gave up his look-see type of reading because they realized it was dumbing down their children, and they wanted them to be scientists. They wanted them to excel. But, of course, they continued the program here in the name of creating mediocrity.
Yes, indeed. It's so clear. When I was an undergraduate, I worked in an experimental classroom as a teaching assistant hired by the school. And the philosophy there was you don't correct anything. If a child misspells a word, if you were to correct it, you'd be injuring their ego. You'd be stifling their creativity.
What do they call that, creative spelling?
Yeah. And, of course, this was before personal computers and spell check. So who knows what these kids were writing? You couldn't figure it out. And the teachers were allowing skateboards down the hall, water balloons out the windows, foul language. And it was an opportunity for me as a young novice to say, well, that's not how I'm going to be handling my classrooms, because it was completely ineffective and a waste of everyone's time, and the children were the ones that were robbed.
And, you know, the great tragedy is today that, you know, our high school graduate, call it high school graduates, really can't read the things that a sixth grader could read 100 years ago. I mean, you look at the McGuffey readers and things of that sort for sixth and seventh graders, our high school students would have a difficult time reading them. In fact, most high school students are even college students are incapable of reading the Federalist Papers, which were letters to the editor that were written in 1789 and 1788 to convince the American people why they should support the American Constitution. Back in that time, we had a 95% literacy rate. Today, we have 100 million people in America who are either partially or completely illiterate. In other words, they can't read or can't read effectively. This didn't happen by accident. John Dewey succeeded beyond his wildest dreams. And the fact that Rush Limbaugh doesn't tell you that simply reflects why we're in so much trouble today.
Absolutely. I was an administrator in special education for a Christian school, and I had a young man come in, a junior, who had a straight A record all the way through school, and I tested him at about the second grade level. And I approached him and I said, you know, your reading's at the second grade, your math is third grade. And he said, oh, that makes so much sense. He said, all along they've been passing me from grade to grade and telling me I'm okay and giving me A's, and I knew something was wrong. And I felt so sorry for this young man because he had to come into reality at such a late date that he had truly been robbed.
And, of course, at our college entrance, I mean, the majority of our children have to go into bonehead English because they haven't learned enough English in high school to qualify to go to college. You don't do this bad a job unintentionally. And where is the outcry from the people? Well, we're going to get a new administration in Sacramento. Gray Davis is going to be sure our children are caught phonics. And nothing happened when he was there. They did not teach him phonics. When George Bush came in, no child left behind. We're going to teach our children phonics. Almost 4 years into his administration, and nothing is happening other than, of course, they're working to change their attitudes, values, and beliefs and make them all want to go along with this one-world system. But we're not teaching our children what they should be teaching in schools. And, of course, this new federal program, it is an abomination, because, of course, there's no justification for a federal program where they test our children to make sure that they have altered the attitudes, values, and beliefs of the children. You should see the textbooks the federal government is using to teach things like civics and American government. And when it comes to the Declaration of Independence, it says there, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, dot, 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 with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they simply delete the words by our Creator, because, of course, the people who put together those hate books, those textbooks, hate our Creator. There is a conspiracy against God.
No doubt about that. And what's interesting is if you talk to children who have been homeschooled or who have been to good, solid Christian schools, they actually speak in complete sentences. They look you in the eye. They have information and content to what they say, and they don't just grunt at you. But so many people who have been through the public system just do not have that. And yet the professionals, the competent authorities, so-called, are saying, oh, you can't do that to your children. You can't pull them out of our wonderful system. They'll be so deprived.
And you can't discipline children while you're going to hurt their psyche. Well, I'll tell you that the Bible says you're to discipline your children and bring them up in the way of the Lord, and they won't depart from it. But we're not doing that, and they're not encouraging us to do that in the churches either. And I put the blame squarely at the feet of the ministers for the problems that we have with our kids today, because they haven't had the courage to speak out and say, get your kids out of the government schools and bring them up in the way of the Lord.
Absolutely, and Scripture is very clear that the ones whom a father loves are to be disciplined, and otherwise, and the King James uses the word bastard, they're bastard children. So when we are corrected of the Lord and disciplined and given that advantage in life, it's because of the loving hand of our God, our Father.
Amen to that. Well, we pretty well finished off John Dewey. Where is the next spot that we want to go?
Well, how about moving over to the ecumenical movement?
All right, because that is really the key to this idea of the one world religion that is being pushed by our one worlders.
Oh, absolutely. We have this idea that everybody's truth is on equal footing, and that we must all walk together in unity. But Amos made it very clear when he posed the fitting question, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, obviously they can't. But we have a religious community that's pluralistic today and wants to embrace all faiths. It's very tolerant in terms of Wicca or the Muslim faith, Hinduism, any of the other religions. But when it comes to fundamental Christianity, that's where the tolerance is withdrawn. And the spiritual United Nations, so to speak, at the Presidio is what's called the United Religions Initiative, and this group wants to bring forth religious expression rights only as set forth in international law. So again, we have this idea of control of a trans-federal government that the Bible lets us know is a one-world system.
Now, did you say that they were at the Presidio?
That's what I understand.
All right. Well, you know, of course, we know that Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia, the former, a slaughterer, a murderer of Afghanistan, he was in charge during the Afghan War when they were using little toys, you know, when the kids thought they were toys, they were really bombs, they'd drop them out of planes, and then they'd pick them up, and they'd explode and blow off the hands and feet. I mean, this was Gorbachev, and Gorbachev was allowed to have a center for his State of the World Forum and Foundation there at the Presidio, and apparently these other people can get space at the Presidio. I bet you and I couldn't get space at the Presidio.
No way.
I think that this shows the attitude of the government towards the one world movement and towards the religion, this one world religion, in contrast to what we believe is the sovereignty of America and, of course, the validity of Christianity.
Yes, and they call the Presidio the White House on the West Coast because of the power and clout that it wields. And ironically, in San Francisco, it was a military base formerly. Right. So it's made that transformation.
Well, now, what about the ecumenical movement? Is it growing? Is it powerful? What's it doing?
Oh, absolutely. Its motto is, of course, unity in diversity. And, you know, nobody is supposed to proselytize, that is, they're not to share with other people, they're just to embrace one another. And there are a number of organizations and systems that are supportive of it. I have before me a brochure on SUN, that is the Spiritual Unity of Nations, and it outlines a progressive plan of action for humanity as it moves into a new creative renaissance. And it's dedicated to the spiritual unity of religions, nations, and people. And it sounds so cozy and warm and nice that we're going to all come together, but the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Two cannot walk together except they agree. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The way is broad that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And so it's completely at odds with biblical truth. And
now, don't they emphasize that you shouldn't be critical of anybody else's beliefs or religious philosophy?
Yes, unless you're a fundamental Christian.
Unless you're a fundamental Christian, I was going to say that. Or a Catholic and had made a film on the Passion of Christ. Or maybe Judge Roy Moore putting out a monument. Oh, we can't have that. That's bigoted. But, you know, of course, don't you dare criticize anybody else.
No, and you can have a Quran in a classroom in the name of diversity. This is politically correct. But as a teacher in the public school system, if I had had my Bible on the desk of the classroom, that would have been anathema. I would have been hauled into the principal's office. And I know because I did it.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't understand why the Christians aren't up in arms all across America and why the ministers aren't leading marches on the City Hall and on the Supreme Court. But, of course, there are very, very few who have the courage to take a stand because we don't want to be controversial.
And aren't we just being lulled to sleep in the arms of the enemy? And Scripture has so many verses where it says, shake, sleep, wake up. Come on, get with the program, Christians. Let's realize. We see the seasons. We see the changing of the seasons. And can't we tell? Don't we know that it's time for the coming of the Lord? And we don't want to be on the wrong end of it when he appears.
And there really is a conspiracy against God. It should be so apparent to anybody who looks and see what's going on today. And yet, of course, nobody ever wants to talk about it. Well, where do we go from the Ecumenical movement?
Oh, let's see. How about the Eurocentrism as opposed to the Afrocentrism? And this is under the umbrella of political correctness, which is defining the mindset that's appropriate from the standpoint of the globalist. And Eurocentrism defines the European-American world in terms of its Judeo-Christian ethic and free enterprise. But enter the Afrocentrism, which says that anything that comes out of Africa indiscriminately is good, but anything that comes out of the West is bad. In other words, the Westerners are morally inept and they are to be despised. And it's a distortion bringing this multiculturalism and diversity into focus, when in fact we have so much that God has given us from an historical standpoint that should be a part of our lives, our children's upbringings, and you know, our educational system.
And of course, what we're doing is being put into a very defensive position, so we can't be proud of our culture. We got to be proud of our way of life. Be proud of our religion.
Right, and the front, as you know, is geopolitical, economic, and religious. And what more key areas in life than those three? And they're systematically being chipped away at until ultimately and finally there is an Antichrist one-world system, which the Scripture says will be completely against Jesus Christ.
And what we've seen here is how they have taken away our President Lincoln's birthday, President George Washington's birthday. We just don't have enough holidays. We have too many holidays, and so we do away with Washington's birthday and and Lincoln's birthday, and we put in Martin Luther King's birthday. And, you know, then we have Earth Day, you know, and of course that is Lenin's birthday. But the American people don't understand that little by little they're destroying the foundations of our Christian society. We saw it beautifully in Christmas as they took the Christ completely out of Christmas. There were no programs at all, or almost no programs, about the birth of our Savior. Oh, we had all sorts of things about Rudolph and about Santa Claus, but nothing about Christianity. You have to understand that they intend to destroy this nation, because they know this was a Christian nation. They just don't want the American people to know it. We're out of time, Deborah. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. It's always a joy to be with you, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty to wrap up this afternoon's program here at Radio Liberty.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Conservative Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention to you the Institute on the Constitution. This is a wonderful program to teach you and to teach anybody who wants to know about our Christian heritage, the history of how America was created and why we are different than other nations. Now, 40 years ago, I used to go to meetings where they taught us about America's history, about our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. But this isn't taught in schools anymore. This is never discussed on radio or television. And this idea that it made America different than any other nation. And what was that idea? Why, very simply, the fact that our freedom came from God. For we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, and were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and governments were instituted among men to guarantee those rights and to secure those rights, deriving their authority from the consent of the governed. That's what the Declaration of Independence says, and you must understand, that is the one message they do not want the American people to understand or to learn. Well, the Institute of the Constitution is designed with 12 separate lectures by Dr. John Ijmo, taking you through the history of this country, our Declaration, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Federalist Papers. What a unique opportunity to learn what you never learned in school. Call the Institute at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Get yourself a kit. Organize it. You can, first of all, you can just listen to it yourself and get the information, and then organize a program in your church, in your local community. Do it down at the Loudon Nelson Center in Santa Cruz or at a meeting hall over in Monterey. But get people together, and if you're going to do one locally, we'll be glad to announce it. We've got to teach people about our Christian heritage. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when we have to remind you, Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you believe, as I do, that we are going to lose America if there isn't a change, then we hope that many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we do what we do, 5 hours every day on Internet, 4 hours every day on shortwave, and of course you can hear our programs by going to radioliberty.com, and you 2 hours on Genesis, and 1 hour on the American Freedom Network at AmericanNewsNet.com, 2 hours in the evening on the Radio Liberty Network, And go to RadioLiberty.com, and you can pull our programs down and go to listen to the archives. But we encourage you to tell others about our programs, because that's how we're beginning to get reaching basically a significant number of people. And more people are learning the truth. And there are a lot of people out there. They're good Americans. They're just looking for somebody to tell them the truth. They don't understand why. It doesn't really seem to matter whether we have a Republican or a Democrat in the White House. The same programs of world government always continue. And as our attention is focused on the war in Iraq, why we continue shipping our jobs and our industries overseas as part of a program aimed at impoverishing the American people. We've already diminished the value of the dollar, devalued it 40% over the last 3 years, and now, of course, they're planning to let it go down another 30%. You're going to lose the value of everything you have, unless, of course, we can convince the American people what's going to happen and stop this program of globalization and reinstitute the system of tariffs that our founding fathers gave us to protect America. But you see, the globalists don't want to protect America. They want to redistribute your wealth to the rest of the world. Not their wealth, believe me, but your wealth. And they want to raise the living standards of everybody in the world and lower the living standards of the American people. And you have to help us get the truth out about what's going on. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope that you'll want to get the videos we offer, Diaprax in the Church, the story of the church growth movement, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, and that is the story, of course, of the movement that's taking us into World War III, and believe me, it's coming. The Brotherhood of Darkness video, which goes into the spiritual battle and the satanic forces working behind the scenes, and gives you references to their writings where they tell you, they worship Lucifer. That's what it's all about. And then, of course, you can get my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book. Or you can get the book, video, and audio tape for $29.95. And we want you to copy the video and the audio tape and distribute them and help us to get the word out. And then, of course, the new video, Iraq, The Untold Story, which goes into the background of all the wars of the last century, which were all contrived, as is the current war in Iraq. And you have to understand who financed Saddam Hussein. Who's been financing him for the last decade? France, Germany, Russia. We know where they were financing Saddam Hussein. But we were also allowing him to smuggle oil out to Jordan and Turkey to keep him in power until just this time in history. And now we're going to war. And we've captured Saddam Hussein. And we've killed a lot of Iraqis. And we have our troops there. And there's no way to get them out. You need to get our video and syllabus, Iraq, The Untold Story. And then if you haven't seen my talk on what happened on 9-1-1, you need to get 9-1-1 Contrived. It's an excellent video. It's available through Radio Liberty, as so many other videos are. Certainly, if you want to understand the move towards concentration camps, you need to get The Amazing Clips or The Shocker. The Amazing Clips or The Shocker by David Wegener, one of our good close friends. Remember, they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.